Hey, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. As Dominic said, I'm Robert Arthur Hall, and it's great to be here. I've actually never been to the South Campus in all my years at CPC, so it's great to be invited finally. And it's good to be here. And so I want to do something fun. Since it's Summer XP Family Morning or whatever we're calling this, I know some of you memorized a verse. And I need one brave soul to come up here and share that verse with us. Did anyone do the memory challenge? No children did? Oh, this is going to look really bad for me, guys. And who? A McQuiston? Absolutely. Get up here. Come on. Come on. I was hoping it was going to be a McQuiston, actually. Come on up. Come on, girl. Come on. Come on. Don't act like you're shy of the stage. Okay, tell everyone your name.
My name is Elle.
Okay, and what's the memory verse?
His divine power has given us everything we need to live a godly life. 2 Peter 1:3a.
Mm. Awesome, go ahead and hold that. Okay. All right, you got him. See you later. No, I'm kidding. Oh, you were going to preach. I thought you wanted to preach. All right, give it up for Elle. You're awesome. Wow. Your parents are going to buy you ice cream now, so... All right, let's pray. So, Father, as we come to your word this morning, God, would you give us eyes to see, hearts that are open, a mind that is open to what the Spirit of God wants to teach us this morning. God, would I decrease, would you increase? In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, we pray. And everyone said, amen. All right, hey, history shows us and has proven this fact that words really have the power to change people. Words not only have the power to change people, they have the power to change a nation. And we've seen that all throughout history. So here we're going to do like a little quiz. I'm going to read a few famous quotes, and the first person that raises their hand, you need to tell me who said that quote, and then you're going to get $100 for each one. Just kidding. All right, here's the first one. Raise your hand. First one. Is it up there? There it is. Let us therefore brace ourselves. And I should speak in a British accent. Is someone already raised their hand? Who is it? Good man. Winston Churchill. It is Winston Churchill. Give it up. Winston Churchill. Thank you. All right, here's the next one. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask for what you can do for your country. No, just kidding. Yes, it was. Absolutely. All right. Next one. I have a dream that one day, every Dally man. Come on, I don't even got to go farther than that. I have a dream. Way in the back, right behind Charlie Royce. I can't even see you. Go ahead. Who is it? Yes. Yes. Excellent. All right. This is a tough one, you guys. These are words that have changed a nation. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Tricky. Tricky, guys. Super tricky. Yes, sir, right there. Yes, you got it. You're like, I better be right. We're in church. Okay, now I got one for the kids. Kids, some people are worth melting for. Oh, you're supposed to raise your hand, guys. Yes, give me a kid, someone. Who is it? It's Olaf. Okay, who said that? Someone said that in the back? Okay, Olaf. Okay, thanks for playing. Thanks for playing. Okay, words have the power to change people. Words have the power to change nations. And this was actually true a long, long time ago. There was a nation, a kingdom called Judah, and words had a powerful effect on a king named Josiah. Everyone say Josiah with me. Josiah, great name. If you don't have a kid yet, name your kid Josiah. Great name. And Josiah was Judah's 16th king. Check this out. Josiah was a young man who led his people into really what we would call today a great spiritual renewal or revival. He restored worship back to the people of God. He helped his people come back to God. For 30 years, this man reigned on the throne. For 30 years, Josiah's kingdom experienced peace, prosperity, and different reform. And so let's look at how he started. If you have a Bible, look with me at 2 Chronicles chapter 34. I'm going to look at a couple of verses here. Every time I read from Chronicles, like my blood pressure goes up, and here's why. When I started seminary many, many years ago. One of my first classes was Hebrew, and I learned the Hebrew language. But then I took a break and did other classes. And then 5 years later, I had to take what's called my Hebrew exegesis class. I go into this class, they open up the Hebrew Bible, right? And they say, okay, hey, Rob, can you start translating Chronicles 34 verses 1 through 4? And I'm like, you're playing with me, right? And he's like, no, please. I can't do that. and anyway, and I had to get a tutor, and it was great, but now I graduated. Okay, 2 Chronicles 34, Josiah was 8 years old. How old was he, kids? 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. Verse 3, in the eighth year of his reign, while he was still young, listen to this, he began to seek the God of his father David. In the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah poles, and idols. Okay, let me stop right there. So listen to this. This is unbelievable. Josiah was only 8 years old when he became king. How many of you are 8 years old? Anyone? Or eight or nine or seven? Thank you. Great. Okay. Question. Any of you that are 8 or 9 years old, any of you have plans to run for the presidency in 2020? Anyone? Yeah. See, you do? Okay, good man. Too bad you can't, because you need to be 35 years old to be president. Did you know that? You'll learn that in government. Okay, but back then, you could actually be the king at 8 years old. That's incredible, and the text tells us that Josiah followed God at an early age. I mean, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, the passage says, and I just want to stop and say, kids, you can do amazing things for God. You're not just like part of the church. We really believe that you are the church. Like when you come to know and follow Jesus, God doesn't give you like a miniature Holy Spirit. You get the full person and power of the Holy Spirit. Can someone say amen to that? Thank you. Yeah, and so kids, man, you can know God and follow him and do incredible things even at 8 years old. And so Josiah, we also learned that he did not follow in the footsteps of his actual father, Amon. Amon was not a godly king. Amon did some very bad things. And let me just stop and say, some of you had terrible fathers. Right, I had a terrible father who wasn't around, and yet by God's grace, I'm a pastor, right? And so, you know, you can be a messed up parent, and your son could or daughter could be a pastor one day, or you could be a great parent, and your son or daughter walks away from the Lord, right? Parenting, this is for free, is all about God's grace, and so Josiah's faith really came alive when he was actually 16 years old. It says in the eighth year of his reign, he made some significant changes. Just by the show of hands, how many of you came to faith before you were the age of 18? Raise your hands. Yeah, look around, you guys. Most of you. Statistically speaking, most people come to faith before the age of 18. I came to faith at 17 years old, kind of, and really came to faith at 18. But that's another story for another time. And that's why things like Summer XP and kids ministries and student ministries are so critically important to the church. But here's the thing. Like, come on. Like, I read a passage like that and says that Josiah was a godly king at age 8. Like, really? But if you dig around, really what you'll find is actually Josiah most likely had a group of advisors who loved God. Josiah was actually surrounded by godly men and women who propped him up, who encouraged him, who spoke truth into him and said, no, follow the way of David, not your father Amon. And so let me just stop and say, all of us, no matter how old we are, we all need men and women in our lives who are investing in us and encouraging us and inspiring us and praying for us too. If you're older, right, and some of you are older, you can, whatever age you think is older, that's up to you to determine. If you're older, right, I always say you need to have a Paul who's investing in you, and you should always have a Timothy, someone you're investing in. And so from 16 to 20 years old, Josiah began to get his nation, to get the people of God back on track with God. The Chronicles tells us that he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places. Now, some of you, if you didn't grow up in church like I did, I'm like, oh, wow, what's wrong with a high place? Like, I love to go up in high places and, you know, look at the stars or whatever. But back then, high places were places of pagan worship, places of idolatry. And so Josiah was also, the text says, was personally involved in the efforts. I love that about Josiah. He wasn't like, hey, y'all, you guys go take care of things. I'm going to be back here sipping martinis or whatever. No, he was actively involved in the reforms in Judah. And he personally got to work with his own hands and started to purge the high places. I love that about him. All right, let's keep reading. Look with me at verse 8. Here we go, verse 8. Guys, I have a new Bible. I'm so excited about it, guys. Lamb skin. It's so awesome. I'm like, just fun to read from it. So, okay. Amazon, taking over the world. Verse 8. In the 18th year of Josiah's reign, to purify the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah. By the way, if you ever read a hard word in the Bible, the quicker you say it, the more you think people know that you think you know the name. So just say it quickly. The ruler of the city with Joash, son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the temple of the Lord his God. Okay, go down with me now to verse 14. Okay, we can't read all this. It's just too much. Okay, verse 14. While they were bringing out the money that had been taken into the temple of the Lord, watch what happens here, you guys. Hilkiah, the priest, found the book of law of the Lord that had been given to Moses. So what do they find? Say with me, the book of law. Okay, thank you. Hilkiah said to Shaphan, the secretary, yo, I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. And he gave it to Shaphan. Keep reading, okay? Let's go down to 18. 18. There it is. Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book. And Shaphan read it in the presence of the king. I'm going to keep going here. When the king heard the words of the law, listen to what happens here. So he's being read from what they knew as the Bible. When he heard it, he tore his robe. He gave orders to Hilkiah, Ahikam, son of Shaphan, Abdon, and Micah, Shaphan the secretary. There's hard words, hard names here. Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the remnant in Israel and Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Listen to this. Great is the Lord's anger that is poured out on us because those who have gone before us have not kept the word of the Lord. They have not acted in accordance with all of it. Dude, we are in trouble, you guys. Did you know that? And then let's just end right there, okay? So here's what's happened. I want to spend a second talking about what I'm calling the power of the written word. Josiah now is 26 years old. He begins to focus on now repairing the temple. So he tears down the high places. He begins to focus on repairing the temple. Now, just real quick, the temple was a significant place of worship for the people of God. For hundreds of years, it was the place of worship. They believed in Jewish thinking that the temple was a place where heaven and earth intersected, where the presence of God dwelt himself. But the temple had been neglected for 50 years, okay? And so while they were working on the temple, cleaning up stuff, they went, oh my gosh, what is this? The book of the law. Whoa. And it did not look like this. It did not come from Amazon. It was most likely a scroll. Sadly, though, for lots of reasons, the one thing that should not have been neglected, the book of the law, was neglected. Apparently, think about it this way. Apparently, no one had a copy or was reading what they would interpret as the Bible. So just think about it this way. Imagine suddenly if today all copies of the Bible disappeared. Think about that, kids. Like, if all copies of the Bible disappeared, no one was studying it, no one was teaching it, no one was reading it for 50 years. That's exactly what was happening. That's how bad the spiritual condition of the people of God had become. And I want you to notice that Shaphan, the high priest, first read it for himself. He read it first for himself. Can I just encourage you? Like, you need to read and learn how to read the Bible for yourself. And then secondly, Shaphan read it in the presence of the king. And when the king heard the words of God, he tore his robes in repentance. He was disgusted. He was overwhelmed. He was brokenhearted, going, oh my gosh, why aren't we following the words of the law? I mean, that tells us so much about King Josiah. When's the last time when you read the word of God or heard the word of God preached, man, and your hearts just were burdened, going, oh, I am not following this. I'm not obeying what the word of God says. That's what was going on in Josiah's heart. And so the reading of the word of God led to a changed heart in King Josiah, and then it led to a changed nation. Let's look at what happens next in 2 Chronicles 34, verse 22. It says, Hilkiah and those the king had sent with him went to speak to the prophet Huldah, who was the wife of Shallum, son of Tokath, the son of Hazra, keeper of the wardrobe. This was not the Narnia wardrobe, you guys. Okay, just so we're clear. She lived in Jerusalem in the new quarter. Now go down to verse 27. Listen to what she says. This is a prophetess. Listen to what she says. Because your heart was responsive, Josiah, and because you humbled yourself before God when you heard what he spoke against this place and its people, and because you humbled yourself before me and you tore your robes and you wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Now I'll gather your ancestors and you'll be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I'm going to bring on this place and those that live here. So they took her answer, that's the prophetess, back to the king, King Josiah. So we looked at the power of the written word. Let's look real quickly at the power of what I'm going to call the spoken word. Okay? After Josiah heard the word of God, he immediately said, oh man, send this to the prophet. Is there a prophet still in Judah? Yes, there was a prophetess. Her name was Huldah. She spoke on behalf of God. Not only did God speak to Josiah through the written word, he's now going to speak through the spoken word through a prophet. This is kind of a parenthesis right here. This is for free. It's so interesting to me that this was a prophetess, Huldah. This was the wife. This was a woman. This shows me that is one of the many places where we see the place of women in ministry, that it has its roots in even the Old Testament. But that's another sermon, not for this morning. And so as a prophetess, Huldah had a powerful ministry speaking on behalf of God. I love it how it says that her husband was like a seamstress. Great. And notice, though, I want you to notice a few things, and I'll move on, that her spoken words did not contradict the written word of Scripture. I'll tell you what, anyone who speaks on behalf of God today or thinks they speak on behalf of God, if it contradicts Scripture, can I just say they are not speaking for God? And that is so important. And instead, her words actually reinforce and even complement what they read. And so Huldah says, hey, because you've responded the right way, the disaster that was going to come on the nation of Judah, God's going to relent and not bring disaster on it. And for many years, King Josiah, you're going to have peace and prosperity, and things will go well for you, at least for a short period of time. And so what does this mean for us? I think it means that we must not only read the word of God for ourselves, we need to listen to the word of God. That's why I'm so glad you guys are here at church. Good for you in July. God bless you. But those are good things. That leads us, I think, to the most important thing, and that's what we see next. We're going to see the power of actually obeying the word of God. Let me read a couple more verses, and I'm done reading verses. Sorry, kids, there's a lot of verses. This is what they told me to do, okay? It's blame it on Mark Mitchell and Dominic, okay? Not me. I was like, what? Who's Josiah? Okay, then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So he gets everyone, the priests and the Levites, all the people from the least to the greatest, right? So there were kids there. There were all kinds of people there. No cats were there. Cats were not around back then. Anyway, he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. So you think this is a long sermon? That was a very long sermon. He read all of it. The king stood by his pillar, and listen to what he did. He renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord, to keep his commands, statutes, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul. And here it is. And to obey. What's that word say with me? And to obey. Okay, I know you're not up yet. I already had Phil's. You should have it too. To what? To what? Obey. The words of the covenant written in this book. Almost done. Then he had everyone, say with me, everyone. Everyone in Jerusalem and Benjamin pledged themselves to it. That's to the written word. The people of Jerusalem did this in accordance with the covenant of God and God of their ancestors. And then Josiah removed all the detestable idols from all their territory belonging to the Israelites. And listen what he did here. And he had all who were present in Israel serve the Lord their God. And here it is. As long as he lived, you guys, they did not fail to follow the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Holy moly, wow, what a guy. And here we see, yes, there's power in the written word. Yes, there's power in the spoken word, but most importantly, I think there's power in obeying the word. See, God had always intended his people to live in what's in a right relationship with him. And that relationship in the Bible, and let me just get theological for a second, explained it in terms of a covenant. And so remember, God had rescued his people from the bondage of slavery in Egypt. He had committed himself to them totally and fully. And so he described to them how they could remain in relationship and stay in relationship with him through a covenant. He gave us what was called the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. The Ten Commandments were to guard a right relationship with God and a right relationship with others. And so the purpose of the Old Testament, the purpose of all of God's law was to enable the people of God to have freedom and flourish. But here's the problem. The problem back then, the problem today, is that over and over, the people of God did not obey the word of God. And so the Bible is full of stories from beginning to end of people obeying God and blessing comes. People not obeying God and disaster comes. But occasionally, there's a glimmer of hope because all throughout the Bible, people realize, oh, life is really bad right now. We should follow God again. And that's all over the place. And they'll recommit themselves to what was called a covenantal relationship with God. And that's what we see happened under Josiah's rule. But here's the sad part. Kids, can you say, this is sad? Sad, all five of you. Thank you for making me feel. But this is sad. After Josiah's death, his reforms did not have a lasting impact, and the people went and followed their own way. And so what's my point? Here's my last point, and then I'm almost done. If you're a follower of Jesus here this morning, I don't assume all of you are, I think one of the most important things that you and I need to do is not just read the Bible, although you should consistently, not just come to church and hear the word of God preached, although you should as often as you can, but you must learn and I must learn how to obey what we read and obey what we hear. Listen to what James, a New Testament letter, put it this way. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So I think, and this is just my opinion, the most important question when we come to the Bible is not, what does this mean? Although that's an important question. I think the most important question is, what does this tell me that I need to obey? And so I just want to encourage you, again, if you're not yet a Christian, I just encourage you with this. I would just get a Bible. I'm sure they have free Bibles here if you don't have one. And you learn to get into the habit of reading the Bible for yourself. People come to me all the time. They're like, Rob, like I'm really having a hard time reading the Bible. How do I do it? And I'll say, "It's here's what you do. You get a Bible and you open it and you start reading it. And I'm dead serious. And they're like, well, it's not that easy. I said, yeah, it actually is. You get a Bible and you open it and you start reading. And they're like, well, I just don't have time. I said, yeah, you do. Do you have 5 minutes a day? Well, yeah, great. Start with 5 minutes. See, a lot of times we think around church, oh, I got to read for like an hour and pray for an hour. And then I'll be like, Rob, no, you won't. No, you won't. I don't even do that. Honestly, I think if we can get into the practice of reading the Bible for 15 minutes a day and praying for 15 minutes a day, I think that is a great place to end up, right? As consistently as you can. And so that's what I recommend. And so I'm going to invite the band back out. And I want to end just talking about Jesus, and then we'll be done. See, the old covenant that Josiah was talking about was a good covenant. But the Old Testament tells us that it was written on tablets of stone. And so when the people of God did try to keep the law, what they found and what you will find is that it never lasted very long. Why? Because their outward reformation only lasted as long as Josiah was there to uphold it and enforce it. And ultimately, what you'll find, if you try to white-knuckle your Christianity, it never will work. And so the Mosaic Law is meant to point us, to be a signpost to our need for a Savior. And so thankfully, Jesus came, and now we live under what's called the New Covenant, and the laws are written not on tablets of stone, but on your heart. And so the moment you put your faith in Jesus, all the promises of the Old Testament are now fulfilled in you. You receive the righteousness from God. All your sins are forgiven. God then gives you the Holy Spirit, kids and adults, to enable you to walk in relationship with God. It doesn't mean you'll be perfect. You will mess up. But now you have the power of the Spirit helping you. And now, thankfully, we know and follow someone much, much greater than King Josiah. We follow King Jesus. And so, yes, there's power in the written word. You should read the Bible as often as you can. Yes, there's power in the spoken word. You can listen to incredible preachers on podcasts much better than me. Yes, there's power in obeying the word of God. But here it is. All those things depend on the word that was made flesh, Jesus Christ. So if you want to see change in our nation, in our world, it starts with you. It starts with you. And that's what we see in this powerful example of Josiah. He read the word of God for himself. It changed his life. It changed his heart. He began to change his kingdom. And the world was forever changed by King Jesus. And so that's my encouragement. Let's start and run to the word of God. Let's listen to it. Let's read it. Let's obey it. Let's memorize it. Let's meditate on it. Because if you want to see change, it starts with you. And so would you just bow your heads? Would you pray with me? And kids too, if you can just bow your heads and pray with me. We're going to come to Jesus and just say, Father, thank you so much for your written word. Thank you, God, that today we have your word. We can read it whenever we want. God, today there's incredible men and women who are faithfully preaching your word. God, thank you for that. Father, thank you, God, that you give us the power to obey your word. Would you help us to obey it more and more? And finally, Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus, the word made flesh. And so as we leave here today, God, we are inspired by these young lives that had a lot of fun at Summer XP, but would all of us, God, learn what it means to power up, to go to you as our resource, as our strength, as our life force. And so, Jesus, thank you for what you're doing here at CPC South in the beautiful city of Redwood City, God. We just honor you. We love you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, we pray, and all God's people said, oh, gosh, that was so weak, you guys. And all God's people said, much better. God bless you.